Welcome to our sermon podcast here at City of Light Anglican Church. We are a new church in Aurora, Illinois, finding a new day in Jesus. We want to see the light of Jesus rise and shine in our hearts, in our homes, and in our neighborhoods. Thanks for joining us for today's message from Father Trevor.
So my favorite childhood movie, and this I think says a little bit about me, my favorite childhood movie was The Sandlot, a movie about kids playing baseball. I spent most of my growing up time playing baseball, and so we'd go play 3 baseball games on a Saturday and go home and then watch other kids playing baseball by watching The Sandlot. And for my 25th birthday, a few years ago now, Bonnie threw me a Sandlot birthday party, and we watched the movie, and we had hot dogs and nachos, you know, baseball park food. And it was the first time I'd watched it as an adult, and I realized, wow, that movie's a little more crass than I realized when I was a kid. But it's still one of my favorite stories. There's the new kid, Smalls. He moves into the neighborhood. He doesn't have any friends. He's got a new stepdad that he doesn't connect with. And one day, he sees a bunch of other kids his age playing baseball on this old sand lot. And so he wants to play with them, but he's nervous and he's unsure and he's afraid they're going to make fun of him, and some of them do. He tries to catch a fly ball and he has no idea how to catch a fly ball, and it's awkward and he needs to throw it back into the infield and he's never thrown a ball before. And so he starts to throw it and then he decides, no, I'm just going to run it in. So he runs it into the infield and all the kids are like, what are you doing? He runs home. He doesn't even have a real baseball glove. He doesn't have a real baseball hat. But one of the kids, Benny the Jet Rodriguez, he's the one from the Sandlot who makes it into the major leagues when he's older. He comes and he says, no, come on out, give it another try. He brings him back to the Sandlot. He gives him one of his old gloves. And he runs out to him in the outfield and he goes, just stick up your glove like this. Just stick it up in the air. So Smalls goes, okay, he closes his eyes, he sticks up his glove, and Benny the Jet at home plate goes, all right, here it goes. He throws it up, he hits it right into his glove, and Smalls catches it. And from that moment on, he's on the team. He's one of them. We all want to be on the team, don't we? We all want to be part of something that's bigger than just each of us. We all want to have a shared goal and make a contribution towards something greater than ourselves. And anyone who's ever been picked to be on a team on the playground knows how thrilling that feels. And anyone who's ever not been chosen knows how painful that feels. What we saw in this passage from Paul's letter to the Corinthians is that in the church, everyone gets to play. In the church, everyone is on the team. You may be new to the neighborhood, you may not have a glove, but there is a position for you. This team needs you. All you have to do to get started is close your eyes, stick up your glove, and trust that the Lord will do the rest. And here at City of Light, you can be a part of the team. We want you to be a part of the team. We want you to find a place in this family and in the family mission, the mission of this team, which is being a people that's finding a new day in Jesus, a new home here in the church, and a new heart for our neighbors and our neighborhoods. That's our mission. That's what our team's about. Come be a part of it. Take a step in. You know, we've been dreaming about what that mission can look like in this next season. We've been collaborating and praying about where the Lord's leading us, how he's calling us to grow and to flourish for the sake of others. Praying for others, partying together with others and for others. And today, the final of those 3 words that start with P, partnering together for others. And we'll actually start next week a 6-week series on what it means to partner together. And in this passage from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, if you turn there again, look at it with me. Look at verses 12 through 14, that first little section. And I want you to just take a minute and scan through those three verses. And if you've got a pencil, just underline, even if it's one of our Bibles, go ahead. Underline every time it says the word one or every time it says the word many. Go ahead, look right now. How many times does it say the word one and how many times does it say many? It's over and over and over again, isn't it? One, many, though many parts, it's one body, one spirit, one body, one spirit, many parts, one body, over and over again. Corinth was a really, really diverse church. So when it says that many, it's talking about people from all different types of backgrounds. Corinth was like the New York, LA, and Las Vegas of the ancient world all rolled into one. There were people from everywhere and all walks of life. You might be Jewish or Greek. You might be a servant, the hired help. You might be free. You might be the upper class. Many, many different people, but all become one in Jesus. See, in the diversity of the church, and the church is supposed to be diverse because everyone's invited to the party, as Pastor Bonnie preached last week. But in that diversity, there's not meant to be division. In the diversity, there's meant to be unity. Many are one. That's what happens in the church. Many are one. But in Corinth, that was not what was happening. If you read this whole letter all in one sitting, it takes less than an hour if you want to go do it, you see a picture of a church that was deeply divided. The rich were taking advantage of the poor, and as is often the case today, the rich were of one ethnic background and the poor were of another ethnic background. Men and women were in conflict, marriages were falling apart, families were in crisis and division. Different people were following different leaders who were jockeying for the most influence and power. There were arguments over what they were supposed to believe, how they were supposed to practice it. In fact, in the chapter before this, Paul is giving them some instructions about how to have communion together, which we'll all do in a few minutes. And communion, that word in it is union, of becoming one. But he says in chapter 11, verse 17, when you come together, it's not for the better, it's for the worse. He's like, you're coming together for communion and actually becoming more divided. They, in Corinth, were a church with no commitment to one another. And you know, we live in a culture that fears commitment of any kind, whether it's commitment to a marriage or a career or a city to live in or a roommate, we're keeping our options open to see if something better might come along. We are commitment phobes, aren't we? We're just afraid of it. It's hard to do. We're afraid to trust. Regular studies show declining trust in organizations, in the news media, in organized religion, in the institution of marriage, in other people, especially in other people that come from a different economic background than us or come from a different ethnic background from us or come from a different religion or country than us. We don't trust. We're in a crisis of trust. So was the church in Corinth. They didn't trust one another. The rich didn't trust the poor. The Greeks didn't trust the Jews. The married people didn't trust the single people. That's chapter 7. The men didn't trust the women. That's chapter 11. They didn't even trust Paul. That's why he's writing the letter, because they've lost their trust in Paul. No one trusted each other. And their lack of trust meant a lack of commitment to one another. And into that reality, Paul goes, don't you see? You might come from many places, but you are one. You are the same body. You are in Christ, the same spirit. You can't fight over which part you are. You shouldn't act like some parts are more important than others. You don't treat some parts like they matter and some parts that don't. You're all a part of the body. You're all one. And if you don't have a commitment to one, then your body, you're committed to one another. You're part of one another. You need one another. Eugene Peterson, who's a writer and pastor, he says, there's no maturity in the spiritual life, no obedience in following Jesus, no wholeness in the Christian life, apart from an immersion in and an embrace of the church community. It's just saying the same thing that Paul's saying. You are a part of the body. Whether you act like it or not, you are. Eugene Peterson says, I'm not myself by myself. If we've been baptized into the family of God, and notice in verse 13, that's where Paul starts. You're one body because you've been baptized into Christ's body. Our body is formed, the body of the church is formed in baptism, he says. And if you've been baptized into the family of God, and if we have God as our Father, then you and I are brothers and sisters. Same Father, then we're siblings. He says, you've been made to drink of the one Spirit. Isn't that a beautiful image of baptism? Drinking of the life and the person of the Holy Spirit. And if you have been baptized in the Spirit, and I have been baptized in the Spirit, we have one Spirit. If we share in communion together, communion through Jesus' death and resurrection with God, if you have communion with God and I have communion with God, then we must have communion with one another. And so Paul summarizes it in verse 25, so that there's no division in Christ. Christ's body cannot be divided. So we can't be committed to Christ without being committed to his body. We can't be a part of Christ's body apart from the church, his body. See that? And just as God came as a particular man, Jesus, so we come to a particular local body of Christ, his local church, and we get to say, we are many, but in Jesus, we are one. How do we do this? What is the antidote to our fear of commitment? What will heal our broken trust? We can't just try to be more committed to one another. That doesn't work. The only thing that heals our fear of commitment, that heals our broken trust, is that God has committed himself to us in Jesus. We have broken commitments, we have broken trust, but God is a God of covenant. Did you see that when we read the psalm together? God is a God who throughout Scripture keeps coming to us. He keeps coming to his people and saying, can I make a promise to you? Can I make a promise to you? Can I commit myself to you? Can I come in a covenant with you? This is the God of the promise, the God of the vow, the God who keeps his commitments, the God who is trustworthy, and his commitment to us is a never-ending, always forgiving, always hoping and trusting, again and again, coming to us every moment, ready to hear us, ready to heal us. His love for us is never failing, even when we fail, when we are unfaithful. Great is his faithfulness. No matter how many times we walk away, no matter how many times we sin against him, no matter how many times we hurt him or we hurt one another, no matter how many times we rebel against him, he is always more ready to forgive than we are to ask, because he will keep his promise. He promises to restore, and he will. He's always there, steadfast in his commitment to us because of the never-ending, all-encompassing commitment of God in Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. Jesus is the promise of God. He is the walking covenant of God. And on the cross, Jesus gives his life as the pledge that he will always give himself to us, that he will always be there for us, that he has committed the life of God to us in Jesus. And we can be baptized into that. We can be baptized into that healing commitment of God. We can be immersed, Paul says. We can drink it in. We can drink in his faithfulness, his love, his vow, his covenant. We can be surrounded by the healing waters of his trustworthiness. And in that healing commitment of God to us in Christ, we can begin to give ourselves to him and trust him. And we can begin to give ourselves to one another and trust one another. The body of Jesus is broken on the cross. And every Sunday we come together and we break bread. His body is broken so that our relationship with God doesn't have to be. His body is broken so that our relationships with one another don't have to be. The power of the reconciling God who makes a covenant commitment to us means that we can live reconciled to one another. In the Middle Ages in Europe, the life of the church went through a really hard time. That's why it's called the Dark Ages. Now, the church in other parts of the world that we don't read as much history about was doing fine and thriving in the South and Africa and in the East. But in Europe, it was rough. Pastors weren't pastoring. They were using their positions of power to get rich, to become influential, and to have political influence. I guess some things don't always change. Normal people weren't allowed to receive communion. Scripture was read in languages people didn't understand. It was rough. But in the 1000s, 1,000 years ago, a revival started to break out. A reform movement from within the church. And it started in these radical groups of men and women who would come together. And the basis of their life together was saying, we want to make a commitment to God and to one another. And we call these monasteries today, which seems like an old, tired, and maybe kind of legalistic idea. But 1,000 years ago, this was an energetic, passionate, young movement that was seeing revival break out all across Europe. That was caring for the poor, that was working for justice, that was loving one another. And monastic life, it's built on the vows that the community would make to one another. They called it the rule of life, rule meaning a practice, the things we do, the way we live our life together, and how they would live their life together for others. And so maybe you've heard of the vows of poverty that they would take, that they wouldn't really own very many material possessions, it would all just belong to the community. Or the vows of work and prayer, that their days would be working with their hands and praying on their knees. Or maybe the vows of chastity, that folks in these monastic communities would not be married, but they would serve the Lord as celibates. But the vow that I had never really heard of until a little while ago was the vow that makes all those other vows possible, and it's called the vow of stability. They would basically commit to always live there. They would say, this is my home, and unless someone asks me, I'm never moving. I'm here. I promise. Here's how one family of monks, the Benedictines, describe that. They say, the vow of stability refers to the importance of community and commitment in life. For a monk or nun, it refers directly to a commitment to the monastery where they will live for the rest of their life. While we may not all be a member of a monastic order, we can all make a vow of stability to our families, to our faith, to our faith communities, to our local and global communities, and to fellow pilgrims along the journey of faith. There's something really beautiful about that type of commitment, a lifelong commitment. I want that kind of commitment in my marriage. I want Bonnie and I to be in relationship for the rest of our lives. I want to have that kind of vow in my family. I want to be in relationship with my kids for the rest of my life. And some of the greatest pains in my life our extended family relationships or friendships that have not had that, that they have not had that trust and commitment, that they haven't been able to make it from one season of life to the other. But you know, as I am older and now climbing into my mid-30s, more than ever, I want lifelong relationships. I want to grow old with my family, and I want to grow old with my friends, and I want to know the same people in 20 years that I know now. I want to grow old with my church. I want that type of commitment together where we know one another in season and in the next season. Thomas Merton was a 20th century monk. He died about 50 years ago. He was a Cistercian monk. That's his monk family. They were intense. They were called Trappist monks. They were intense. But he says this: by making a vow of stability, the monk renounces the vain hope of wandering off to find a perfect monastery. Ouch, right? The vain hope of wandering off to find the perfect monastery. They might have made a vow of stability and then found out that that monk that they can't stand is in their monastery. That person that annoys them or that they've been hurt by or that they keep hurting. But they are out of options. They're there. And so what can they do? They can either be grumpy or they can grow. They can be miserable or they can be reconciled. And it's that regular practice of reconciliation with one another that makes us holy. Where our sins and brokennesses bump up against each other in relationship, and we have to learn to forgive, and maybe even harder, learn to be forgiven. We commit to being for one another. We commit to having the hard conversations in love when that love isn't easy, when it's costly, when it's deeply sacrificial, when it takes time. And we renounce the vain hope of wandering off to find the perfect spouse or the perfect family or the perfect church. You know, we may not all live in Aurora or this surrounding Fox Valley community for the rest of our lives. The Lord may not call us all to be a part of this church, City of Light, for the rest of our lives. Maybe you're a guest with us and you're a part of another church or you're still exploring what it means to follow Jesus. You know, there are seasons of life and there are seasons in the calling of the Lord. But what if? What if, for as long as the Lord has us here, we committed to being for one another? We committed to being here. Through those hard moments, we committed to being here together. Same team, same family, same mission for others. What if for as long as we are here, we made this vow to one another? That in the midst of a cultural crisis of trust, in the midst of fear of commitment, we, by the power of Jesus, said, though we are many, we will be one. And we will be with one another and we will belong to one another and we promise each other that. Tim Keller is a pastor in New York City, and he'd often tell his congregation, which was in part of a very transitory community there in Manhattan, he'd say, if you're going to stay for 1 year, if that was your plan, could you stay for two? If you're going to stay for 3 years, what about five? Can you just commit to being here and being a part of this a little bit longer, a little bit longer? Can we do this all together for the sake of this city that needs the gospel? I remember when we were starting to start this church, I said to one of our families here, could you come for just 6 months? And then I said, how about a year? How about 2 years? What would happen if we committed to this place, to this people, to this team, to this family, to this mission for as long as I'm here? I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay here emotionally. I'm going to stay here physically. I'm going to commit myself to this city of Aurora and its surrounding communities and this church and to the practice of being reconciled to God and being reconciled to one another so that this city might know the joy of reconciliation. Because what happens when we live as one? We live as the body of Jesus. Do we want Jesus and his transformation to be present in our neighborhood and in our community? The only way that's happening is if we are his body, is if we come to the table and are filled with his presence so that then his presence inhabits us. We must be one so that they will know that he is God. If we want to see revival in our city, it starts here, being reconciled to one another. These next 6 weeks that we're entering into, we're beginning a study on our rule of life, on how we practice life together. We'll look at what it means to be shaped by the gospel, to be the church, to be a community of prayer, disciple making, to go about the work of worship and the work of mission. We'll practice that together. And at the end of that season, you'll have an opportunity for the first time, if you're ready, to become a member at City of Light. But that's not really what this whole process is about. It's not about just the membership. We want this to be a season where every person at City of Light can take a step in, can take one step closer onto the team, can say, I want to take one step of commitment to God and to his body, the church. And whatever that step looks like for you and wherever you are, that's fine. And that's great. Maybe you would say, I'm new to church, or I'm coming back to church, and I'm still trying to figure all of this out. We're so glad you're here. You are so welcome here. And I'd love to talk with you more about a God who is committed always to you and who loves you. Maybe your response is, I don't know if I want to take a step in. I'm really scared of that. I'd love to invite you to just ask the Lord to show you why. Maybe having a conversation with me or with someone else would be helpful for that. But is there a past hurt in your life that makes it hard for you to trust the church? Is there a relationship in your life or even in this church right now that needs some reconciliation, or with a past church that needs some reconciliation? I'd love to help walk through a process of that with you. Maybe you just want to pray with one of our prayer team members during our communion time and ask the Lord to be with you and show his love and commitment to you. Maybe you would say, I'm ready. I want to take a step in. What do I do? What could that look like? Well, being with us through these next 6 weeks and through this partnership process, that could be a great way to explore how to take a step in onto the team. Maybe taking a step in means doing what Corey did a year ago and saying, I want to be part of a disciple-making group. I want to commit to this small group of people, to praying with them, reading the Bible with them, and praying for people who are far from God with them. Our groups start up this week. Maybe that's the next step for you. Maybe a next step in being a part of the team would be for you to invest financially in this team. Maybe you've never given before, or maybe you've given occasionally and you want to take a next step and say, I want to give regularly, or I want to give more sacrificially. Maybe that's a step in for you. Maybe you want to be on a team here. You say, I want to be on a team that's actually carrying out the mission of City of Light. Our Sunday morning teams have lots of opportunity for you to jump in and serve and be a part of welcoming people into the body of Christ here, where many become one. And we just spent the last month brainstorming and dreaming and collaborating together. We want to start a team that ministers to our youth and students. And we all want to start teams that minister to our neighborhood. Come be a part of one of those teams. Maybe taking a step in just means being here with us and praying and waiting on the Lord and allowing him to lead. But we want to be a church that wherever you're at, whatever you're ready for, you know that there's a spot for you. You feel invited, not pressured, but welcomed into the family business, onto the team and into the game, where we can all stick up our glove, close our eyes, and wait for the Lord to do whatever he wants to do in us and through us. Because God is a Father who welcomes us into his family. God welcomes us into communion with him, communion with one another. God reconciles us to him so that he can reconcile us to one another and bring reconciliation to our cities that we love. Because this neighborhood and all of our neighborhoods need the presence of the body of Jesus that is this church. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from City of Light Anglican Church. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us online at cityoflightanglican.org. And now, may the light of Jesus scatter the darkness from before your path.